Okay, today we begin Maseches Me'ilah, a couple of introductory points to Maseches Me'ilah. First of all, the definition of Me'ilah is when you change the designation of an object from Shimush Kodesh to Shimush Chol. It was something previously designated to belong to Hashem, to be Shimush Kodesh, and now you change it to be Shimush Chol. That could happen in two ways. Either by getting hana'ah from the object yourself, person gets a hana'ah of a significant hana'ah from the object. Now, when it comes to hana'ah she'ein bo mamish, like kol mare, from enjoying the sound or the sight of something, so that's a separate sugya maseches pesachim daf chavav. But typically speaking, we're talking about hana'ah of mamashus from the object. That itself is a violation of me'ilah and turns the object from kedusha to chol. The second way it could happen is by being motzi the chefetz from rishus hekdish to rishus chol, by giving it to somebody, by taking it out of the rishus hekdish and bringing it to the rishus chol. The parsha of Me'ilah is in the Torah in Vayikra Perakei Pasuk Tezvav. Nefesh ki simel mal v'chata b'shkaga mikachei Hashem, tells us a person who does Me'ilah is subject to a variety of different punishments. We'll discuss that in a second. Me'ilah can come in a daraisa form and in a derabanan form. When Me'ilah is min haTorah, so the Gemara will use the term moalin. When we're talking about Me'ilah midrabanan, then you would only pay a keren, you wouldn't pay a chomesh. Normally for Me'ilah d'oraisa, you have to pay back the actual amount that you got hana'ah from, plus an additional chomesh, which is what we would call 25%. It's a chomesh milavar, not a chomesh milagav. And you don't bring a carbon for Me'ilah d'rabanan, you would bring a carbon, an asham me'ilos, for Me'ilah d'oraisa. But typically speaking, whenever we're going to talk about Me'ilah d'rabanan, the Gemara or the Mishnah will use the term lo nehenin. Instead of saying moalin, that it's a violation of Me'ilah, which would imply Me'ilah d'oraisa, it will just say lo nehenin, that you're not allowed to get hana'ah from the object. That means that it's an isser d'rabanan. A carbon ola and carbon chatos that's supposed to get burnt, the carbonos that are supposed to go kulo la Hashem, since the basar never has a heter la achila, and the entire carbon is kachei Hashem, so the entire carbon is subject to me'ilah. The hide of the carbon, which goes to the kohanim, is not subject to me'ilah. So with those carbonos, with carbonos that are designated to go entirely la Hashem, the me'ilah is from the moment it's subject to me'ilah, from the moment that it's hukdash until after it's nasas mitzvasa, until after you've done whatever you're supposed to do with it. Once it's nasas mitzvasa, it's no longer subject to me'ilah. Other kachei kachim, where the basar is mutter ba'achila, like a typical chatas or an asham, you are subject to me'ilah until the shazrika. From the time of zrika and on, there's no me'ilah on the basar anymore, because now the basar is mutter ba'achila. The me'ilah would only be on the emurim, but the basar, as soon as it's mutter ba'achila, is no longer subject to me'ilah. Kachim kalim are not called kachei Hashem, and therefore there is no me'ilah on the basar of kachim kalim at all. There's only me'ilah on the emurim, and even on the emurim, we're only knowing me'ilah from the time that it's hutar lahakrava, meaning it's not the time that you originally makdish kachim kalim that it's subject to me'ilah. It's only once it becomes hutar lahakrava, which means after the zrika. So it's somewhat ironic. It turns out that zrika is a turning point in the halachos of me'ilah, both by kachim kachim and by kachim kalim, but it has a reverse effect. Zrika brings Kachim Kalim to the Parsha of Me'ilah, makes Kachim Kalim first subject to Me'ilah, but by Kachim Kachim, Zrika is motzi midei Me'ilah, takes away the din of Me'ilah by Basar of Kachim Kachim. So Zrika has an opposite effect on Kachim Kalim and Kachim Kachim. That's some of the just the very basics of Me'ilah. So just I just took a quick look at the art scroll introduction before starting the shiur, and he pointed out that if you look in the very last halacha in the Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilah in Perches Halacha Ches, the Rambam derives a musar point. The Rambam often does that in the very last halacha of any section. So he derives a point of musar from Mi'ila. The Rambam writes, Roy la'adam lisbonin b'mishpatei Torah kadosha v'leida sof inyanam k'fikocho. A person should try to pay attention to the mishpatei Torah, to the laws of the Torah, and to figure out what message the laws of the Torah are trying to send. V'dover shlo yimtzlo tam v'leida lo ila al yihi kal be'inav v'al yaros lalos al Hashem pen yifrotz bo v'lotei machshavaso bo k'machshavaso b'shar divrechol. If you encounter something you don't understand in Torah, don't take it lightly. Don't think that you can go and argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and change the halacha. Don't treat it like a davar chol that doesn't make any sense. A davar chol doesn't make any sense. You reject. Don't do that with Mishpatei Torah. Bo re'e kamach mir Torah b'mi'ila. Just look how much the Torah was machmir with mi'ila. Umayim eitzim v'avanim v'ofer v'efer. Kivin shenikra shem adona olam aleim b'dvarim b'vad niskachu. He says, think about what mi'ila means to us. You take something that's a physical object, something that previously meant nothing, and all you did was you recorded the shem Hashem on that object, and all of a sudden we have to treat it with an elevated status of Kedusha, and if you treat it like something that's not Kadosh, you just treat it like a normal mundane object, it's a violation of being Mal against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even if by accident you just treat it like a normal object, you require Kapara. All the more so when it comes to the ideas, when it comes to the concepts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, the mitzvah satorah, when it comes to the actions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded of us, it has the Shem Hashem very much associated with it. In fact, the Torah itself is kulo Shem Hashem. The entire thing is the Shmos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how much more seriously do we have to take all of the activities, the mitzvos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to do? So that's what Hare Nemar b'Torah Shmartim as Kol Chukosei as Kol Mishpatai v'Asisim Osam, that we have to guard the Mishpatim and the Chukim and do them, meaning guard them to respect them properly, to understand that they come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam uses Mi'ila as the paradigm, as the way to deliver that message. Okay, one more quick point before we start. I saw in the Art Scroll introduction at the very end, they said that, and you get the sense of this a little bit, is that many believe that Rashi on Mi'ila is not Rashi. And one of the reasons that many people believe Rashi on Mi'ila is not Rashi is that Tosfos on Mi'ila is very different than Tosfos is through most of Shas. Tosfos on Mi'ila, instead of being more of an Iyun Sefer, is much more of a Mefarish. He takes Rashi's job. So Tosfos clearly tried to pick up the slack where they felt that Rashi was missing. So at the very least, you see that Tosfos didn't have Rashi on Mi'ila. So it's likely that whoever this Mefarish is, certainly a Rishon, but whoever the Mefarish is not Rashi. If I accidentally refer to it as Rashi, it's because that he's where Rashi is. But it's very likely that it's not Rashi. Okay, says the Mishnah. Katshe katshim sheshachtam bedarom ma'olin behen. Let's say you're involved in a korban in katshe katshim, but you do it the wrong way. You shecht the kachi kachim in the south of the Azara instead of in the north where it's supposed to be shechted. So do we assume that at that point it's already you have thereby removed its kedusha, and if you've removed its kedusha, it would no longer be subject to Mi'ila? Says the Mishnah, no such assumption may be made. You shecht the bedarom, it still has its kedusha, and therefore it's still subject to Mi'ila. Shechtan bedarom v'kibol daman b'tzafon. If you do the shechita in the south and the Kabbalah's dam in the north, or b'tzafon v'kibol daman b'darom, you do the shechita in the north where it belongs, but you do the Kabbalah's dam in the wrong part. You do the Kabbalah's dam in the south where it's not supposed to be. Or shachat b'yom v'zarek v'layla, you shacht it in the north during the day, which is all right, and you do the zrikas adam b'layla v'zarek v'yom, or you shacht it at night, which is not right, v'zarek v'yom, but you do the zrikas adam during the day, or you shacht it in the north during the day, but your intention is for chutzlazmano doesn't mean you actually shecht the chutzlazmano, means you have a machsheves pigul, you have a machsheva of eating it chutzlazmano at the time that you shecht it, or chutz l'makamo machsheves psul. The mefarish over here keeps on referring to chutz l'makamo as machsheves pigel also, but typically speaking, we refer to machshev chutz l'makamo as pasul, not as pigel, because it doesn't carry with it the onesh, the chiv kares that pigel carries with it. But it's another form of pigel, a lower form of pigel, where you have a machshava chutz l'makomo, where it's not going to be chayiv karis, but would pasul the karban. So in all those cases, malin behen, the animal is still subject to me'ila, the karban is still subject to me'ila, you haven't done anything to remove the isser me'ila. Klal amar Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says the following rule: Kol shahayla shashet lekohanim ein malin ba. Anything that at any point had a moment where it became mutter to kohanim is not subject to meila. The kol shalohayla shashet lekohanim malin ba. But if it never had a moment where it became mutter to kohanim, then it is going to be subject to meila. Remember how we said that if you do zrikas adam on kachim kachim, that's matir the basar ba'achila, that then allows you to eat the basar. So now it's no longer subject to me'ila, because now it was matirit to Kohanim. That's a reflection of Rabbi Shua's rule, that once it has had to the Kohanim, it's no longer going to be subject to me'ila. If it never had to the Kohanim, so then it is subject to me'ila. So ezuhi shahayla shas had to the Kohanim. What's an example of something that had a shas had to the Kohanim and therefore is not going to be subject to me'ila? Shalana. Let's say you have basar kachim that was left overnight, v'shenitma'a, or became tamei, v'sheyatza, went chutz l'mechitzaso. So once it's already has shashet to the kohanim, and then any of these things happen to it, so it's not going to be subject to me, even though it's pasul. If you look at Rashi, shalana habasul liachaz zrika. After the zrika, the basul is left overnight. O shenitmes, o sheyatza chutz l'kloyim laachaz zrika. The avul gav the hashte inu ruil kohanim. Even though right now that makes it that it's no longer royal economy made a puzzle, however, Vahaisala, Shasakosha, Kodim Shanifsala, Ain Malin Bad, Lo Karinaba, Mikachi Hashem, Holokvar Haisaru Lukoanim. Once it had a Shashet to Lukoanim, even though now it's puzzle Lukoanim, it's not going to be subject to Nilo because it's no longer called Kachay Hashem. Once it had a het l'kohanim, it's no longer called Kachay Hashem. Ve'ezuhi shalom ha'ilah shas het l'kohanim. What are things that don't have a shas het l'kohanim? So, shenishcha chutz l'zmana, chutz l'makoma, these are things that happened before the zrika. When you do the shechita in a pasul way, with a machshava of chutz l'zmana, with a machshava of chutz l'makoma, v'shekiblu psulin v'zarku esdama, or people, the zrika was done in a pasul way, the psulin did the zrika. So in that case, the zrika was never done properly, so it never became hutul l'kohanim al yedei the zrika. Those are things that do not have a shashet to the kohanim. It's interesting that the Mishnah only gives these examples. In the Mishnah, when it started out, spoke about things that are subject to mila, spoke about things that you're shochet bedarom, things that you're mekabel bedarom, shachat biyom v'zarek belayla, belayla v'zarek biyom. And over here, all we really mention is with the machshava chutz l'zman chutz l'makoma. So the Mefarish over here in the last passage, the second to last passage of the Mishnah, points this out. Vezui shalohay shenishcha chutz l'zmana v'hu adin l'kol hani d'tana b'resha. Shachta b'darom, o b'layla, shalohay len shashet l'kohanim. Really, at the end of this Mishnah, we could have repeated the whole list from the beginning of the Mishnah. All of these things are things that never had a shashet l'kohanim. V'hainu taimu d'nakat hani trin d'chutz l'zmana v'chutz l'mkoma t'fei mikol hani d'tana b'resha d'malin mehen. The reason why we dafka identify these two issues of machshava chutz l'zmana, machshava over all the other problems that we mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah, which are subject to Me'ila, Dahani Trei Iskush Adadi Mechad Kronafki Mesach Zvachim Imeh Echol Yechel. Since these two are, it's really just giving one example. It's giving one example of one kind of problem, but these two are both lent out from the same pasuk. So maybe we just mentioned the two of them together. But really, it's just giving an example of where you have something that never had a shashet to the Kohanim when it developed its problem, and we're highlighting that it would still be subject to Me'ila. So a couple of points on the Mishnah. First of all, there is where the Torah tells us the onesh for Me'ila, what happens when you do Me'ila, is very clear. That's in the fifth parak of Sefer Vayikra. But where the Torah gives us the Azhara for Me'ilah is a subject of Machlokas Rishonim. Anytime you're going to get an Onesh for anything, you need an Onesh and an Azhara. You need the Torah to first tell me it's Aser. The Torah Vayikra Parakeh says, Im Simul Mal Ba'Hashem. If you do Me'ilah, this is what happens. Where does it tell me that I'm not allowed to do Me'ilah? That it's a problem to do Me'ilah? So Rashi, Mesech Sanhedrin, Daf Pedalit Amid Aleph, and the Maseches Makos and Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph writes that the Azhara for the Isra Me'ilah is learned out from a Gezeirah Shava, Chet Chet Mitruma. By Me'ilah it says Chata V'Chata Bishkaga, and by Truma it says Lo Yisu Alav Chet V'Mesu. So Gezeirah Shava, Chet Chet Mitruma, that just like a Zar is not allowed to eat Truma, so too it's someone who's a person is not allowed to be Nana from Kodshei Hashem. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Me'ilah Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel writes that the Azhara of Me'ilah is from the fact that the pasuk says Lo Sucha Lechol B'Sharecha Ma'aser D'Gancha, and goes on to say Unidarecha. So the Rambam says Mipi Hashmuel Lamdu. We learn Mipi Hashmuel. We learn from the Torah Shebal Peh that that's an Azhara for someone who eats from the Basar Ola, since it's supposed to be Kulu Lashem, and also any other Kodesh that's Lashem Levado, whether it's Kachi Mizbeach, whether it's Kachi Bedek Abayis. If you get a Shava Pruta's worth of Hana'a from it, you get Malkus, and if you're Mo'el B'Shogeg, you pay for the hana that you get plus an additional chomesh, and you bring an asham mi'ilos, an ayil of shnei slaim, and you bring it as a carbon asham, and you get your kapara. That's the asham mi'ilos. So the Rambam derives from the pasuk of unidarecha that you're not allowed to eat bisharecha ma'aser d'gancha, but also unidarecha. The Ravid is masig on the Rambam that the asara mi'ilah has to be from hibu truma sakachim lo sochal. That again relates to truma. That's Machlokas Rishonim, exactly where the Isser comes from. The Gemara is going to explain that on the line in the Mishnah where we say that if you shecht the bedarim and you kibel b'tzafon, b'tzafon v'kibel the bedarim, b'yom v'zarek b'layla, b'layla v'zarek b'yom, that the Mishnah is written in the style of lozu avzu katani. That the Mishnah, there are two general styles that we have to the Mishnah, zuvein sarich lomarzu or lozu v'avzu. Zuvein sarich lomarzu would mean we'll tell you the biggest chiddush first, and then the rest is we'll mention the more obvious things afterwards. That here's the big chiddush, and here are some more obvious things. Lozu avzu is that we start with the least chiddush and we build up to the greater chiddush. So the Gemara is going to say that our Mishnah is in a lozu avzu style, meaning not only if you shecht the bedarim and you makabel dam b'tzafon, where the ikra avodas hakarban is the kabbalah and it was done in the tzafon, it was done properly. Not only is it subject to me'ila then, but even if you shecht it b'tzafon and you makabel dam b'darum, where the ikra avodas hakarban was done in the darum, was done improperly, so you would think that it would be like kachim that just died. You'd think it's like kachim that never really had the avoda done properly with it. Nevertheless, it's still subject to me'ila. It's not considered like kachim shemesu. That's how the Gemara is going to understand the style of our Mishnah. So Tosfos asks that if that's true, the rest of the Mishnah, the gears of the rest of the Mishnah, doesn't seem to make much sense. Because then when it talks about b'yom and b'layla, it says shachat b'yom v'zarek b'layla, b'layla v'zarek b'yom. The last din, l'chora, in that part of the Mishnah, is less of a chiddush than the first din. That seems to be in the style of zuve in sarek lomarzu. Why? Because the last din, that zrika done during the day, is more understandable that the carbon is not going to be like kachim shemesu. It's not going to have a din of kachim that just died. But the first din, where the zrika, which is the ikar avoda, was done b'layla, so it's more mistaver that it should be like kachim shemesu. And nevertheless, it's not like Kachim Shemesu. So min hadin, the Tana should have first said the din harishon after the din ha'achron, right? He should have first, instead of the Tana saying shachar b'yom v'zarek b'layla v'zarek b'yom, it should have been shachar b'layla v'zarek b'yom, and then shachar b'yom v'zarek b'layla. So Tosa says, okay, you got to switch it around, you got to change the girsa. It should be shachar b'layla v'zarek b'yom v'zarek b'layla. Shittim Gbetzes, however, is not as happy about changing the girsa. Shittim Gbetzes and Oslam and Dalid suggests a couple of possible terutzim as to why the girsa is the way that it is. We'll just mention one of them. In one of his terutzim, he suggests that shachat b'layla v'zarek b'yom is a greater chiddush from shachat b'yom v'zarek b'layla, because if you shecht b'yom and you zarek b'layla, there's only one psul of zrika b'layla. But if you shecht it belayla, in addition to the psul of shechita belayla, which is a minor problem, there's an additional psul of lina al hadam. Once you shecht it, you have blood. There's no blood before you shecht it. So once you shecht it, you have blood. But now you have blood at nighttime. Before you do anything with that blood, the nighttime passes. So that's a psul lina on the dam as well. So even though there, so that's the greater chiddush. That even though there are shnei psulim, still the meila, the carbon is subject to meila. That's the greatest chiddush that the Mishnah could teach. Okay, and that's why it has it in that order. That's the Shidduch. That's the second answer, actually. But that's how one of the ways that he defends the girsa that we have in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Katani Kachi Kachim Sheshachtam B'Dorim Olim Ben. So it says right off the bat at the very beginning of our Mishnah that Kachi Kachim that you shecht in the Dorim in the south, you violate Me'ila, are subject to Me'ila. So it says Gemara Pshita Mishum Tshachtasim B'Dorim Afkinu Midei Me'ila. Of course, why would I think otherwise? Because you shechted in the south, that should take away the status of Me'ila, the status of Kachi Hashem, that it shouldn't be subject to Me'ila anymore. Why would that be? So it says Gemara Itzrich. It is a chiddush because salka daita chamina. Holva amar ula amar Rabbi Yochanan kachim shemesu yatsum idei meila dvar Torah. I might think since ula taught us that if kachim die, let's say the animal never gets shechita, it just dies, it has a heart attack and dies, so it's no longer subject to meila mida oraisa. So I might think hachinami kachim kachim legabe darom kima dechankinu dami, that whenever you do anything different with kachim kachim than you're supposed to do, we'll consider it not that you did the avoda that you're supposed to do, the shechita that you're supposed to do on the animal, consider it like the animal just died. Meaning, my nafkamina, if an animal dies of a heart attack where it didn't have the shechita b'tzafon that it required, or if you shechted b'darum where it didn't have the shechita b'tzafon that it required, meaning you veered from the appropriate program that this animal was supposed to have. So I might think that's considered as if it just choked to death, kamash malan, therefore comes to tell me, kachim shemesu lo chazu klal. No, there's a big difference. When kachim just dies, so that's something happens with that wouldn't be roi for any karban. For an animal just choke to death or have a heart attack, that's not a roi way, that's not an appropriate way of killing any karban. Aval darom nihidein roi l'kachim kachim, aval roi l'kachim kalim. But when it comes to darom, when it comes to shechita in the south, granted that's not normal for kachim kachim, but it is roi for kachim kalim. So on this point, the fact that the Gemara says that the great chiddush is that since Ula taught us that kachim shemesu is yotzi midei mi'ila midaraisa, so I would think kachim kachim bidarom, it's as if it just choked to death, as if it just died. So the Briska Rav in Zvachim and Dafsam Chesam Beis asks that it's unclear what exactly the dimyon is between kachim kachim that you shecht bidarom and kachim that just die. By kachim that just die, there's no mi'ila because they're not royal gavoa, and they're not royal hedyot, because once they die, you can't even eat them. They have to be thrown to the dogs, and you can't be poda kachim to be machil the kachim the klavim. So there's nothing you could do. But by kachim kachim that you shecht in the darom, you could be poda them, and they're roi for achilas bnei adam because they are shechted kedin. You shechted them properly. They went through a proper shechita, so you can be poda them, and they'll be roi achilas bnei adam. And al yedei the pidyon, the iser kedusha will be removed from them. So since the roi for pidyon, for whatever reason, they shouldn't be subject to meila. So how can you compare the two cases? They have nothing to do with each other. So says Briskrov, it could be that since that he says it's possible that there asr midin chulin shenishchetu ba'azara. What? It wasn't chulin. It was kachi kachim. It was the opposite of chulin. How could it be asr mishum chulin shenishchetu ba'azara? He says once it didn't have the shechitas kachim that it required, so the shechita that it had in the darom of the azara counts like a shechitas chulin. It doesn't count as a shechitas kachim. It wasn't a shechita of avoda. It was like a shechitas chulin. And a shechitas chulin is asr and chulin shenishchetu ba'azara is asr even the is asr even for any person to eat. So that's the comparison. The reason we're able to compare it to an animal that dies. An animal that dies can't be eaten by a hadyot, can't be eaten by a regular person, and this animal also maybe has a din of chulin shishtu ba'azara. But the Briska Rav says, as creative an idea as it is, and as enticing of an idea as it is, that this should be called chulin shishtu ba'azara. What a chiddush, so unusual. Take an animal, it's kachi kachim, shechtin in the azara, and call it chulin shishtu ba'azara. He says, it doesn't seem that idea idea is correct, because the Gemara in Tumura and Daf Yud Aleph says that let's say you're makdish a pregnant animal, and you say that the mother should be shlamim and the vlad should be chulin. So when you shecht the mother, there's a halacha in the Torah that when you shecht a pregnant mother, the shechita works for the vlad as well. So is that a violation on the vlad of chulin shnishchutu ba'azara? You shechted the mother was a carbon. You were makdish the mother as a carbon shlamim. The vlad is chulin. So when you shecht the mother, isn't it a violation of chulin shnishchutu ba'azara? Says the Gemara, no, it's not at all, because the whole issue of chulin ba'azara is only when it's possible to do the shechita berichuk makom. It's possible to do it outside of the azara, like it says ki yirchak mimcha hamakom v'zavachta. That's the issue of chulin shnishchutu ba'azara. But if you have to shecht it in the azara, then there's no issue of chulin ba'azara. So if that's the case, so by kachay kachim that you shecht in the darom, since it's not possible to shecht it chutz la'azara, so when you shecht it in the darom, it's not going to be chulin shnishchutu ba'azara, even though you didn't shecht it in the best part of the azara for this particular karban. But it would not have been possible to shecht it, would not have been permissible to shecht it outside of the azara. Memela, it's not subject to chulin shnishchutu ba'azara. It's even a kal v'chomer over there. The whole reason that the vlad is not, it can't be nishchat perichuk makom, is because of the kedusha of the mother. Over here, the whole reason it can't be shechted verichuk makom is because of its own kedusha. So it's even stronger. It's an even stronger reason to assume that it should not be subject to chulin shnishchutu ba'azara. So Brisk Rav assumes that that's that doesn't help us over here. That we're still a little bit stuck to understand this dimyon. So that's the havamina of a dimyon. So okay, it's a kash and the havamina. So what's the kamash malan? So it comes to tell us that no. That the kamash malan is that when you shecht the pidarom, that even though it's not ra'ui, for that's not a place that's ra'ui for kachay kachim, but at least it's a place that's ra'ui for kachay kalim. And since it's a place that's ra'ui for kachim kalim, so that's enough to be to keep it in the world of me'ila, to not treat it like an animal that just dropped dead. So shita mukbetas again in oshei is bothered by the maskana. So what that shchita's darum is ra'ui for kachay kalim? Guess what? This animal wasn't kachay kalim. It was kachay kachim. So why do I care that it was ra'ui for that the place that it was shechted is ra'ui for kachay kalim? We're dealing with kachay kachim. Shchita's darum by kachay kachim is puzzle. So why shouldn't you treat it like it just choked to death? Like it just had a heart attack and died. Where you shechted it is not roi at all for this type of karban. So Shita gives an answer, but Sfasemis explains that the Iker Kedusha of a karban, Sfasemis develops the following idea. The Iker Kedusha of a karban comes at the Shas Shchita. The Kedusha Mechayim, whatever Kedusha the carbon has while it's still alive, is only because the carbon is omed lahakrava. It's only because the carbon is destined to be hukrav. The Me'ila of the carbon is because it is omed l'shchita. But once a carbon dies, so it's Meskalel Mafreya, that the Kedusha of the carbon was never completed. Because the full Kedusha of the carbon is only B'Shas Shchita. So even though if you're Moel before it dies, you do violate the Isra of Me'ila, that's only because at the time that you violated the Me'ila, at the time that you got the Anah, it was Omed L'Shchita. It was still something that was destined to go through a Shchita where it was going to have the full Kedusha. But once it dies, the Kedusha's battle. And therefore, that's when it dies, the Kedusha's battle. But if it's Nishchat L'Shem Kachim, even if it was nishchat bepsul, since it was ro'i for kachim kalim, there's no svara to say that the kedusha should be paka, the kedusha should be removed with its death. Because the kedusha, where would the kedusha have gone away to? Whereas it did have a shechita, it had a shechita b'makom kadosh, it had a shechita in a place that's ro'i for kedusha. So says Fasemis, that's why it's not at all like kachim shemesu. Kachim shemesu didn't have a shechita. The whole kedusha of the animal in the first place was only because it was destined for a shechita, but it never had a shechita. Over here, you had a shechita b'makom kadosh, so that's good enough that at least its kedusha is not removed from the animal. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter now. Lomani l'misni kolhani. Why do we have all of these examples in the Mishnah? All these examples of where you still violate Me'ila, where you shecht the bedarum, where you do the Kabbalah bedarum, you shecht the biyom and zarek b'layla, you do the zrika b'layla, you do the shechita b'layla. All of these different examples. What do we need all of these examples for Me'ila? Says Gemara Tzrich, we need every single one of them. If it would have told me only a case of shechita Mita in the wrong place, but Kabbalah's Dam in the right place, I would say, yeah, that's subject to Mila. Because the more important of the Avodas is the Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah happened in the right place. So that's why it's still subject to Mila. But I would think that if you shach the Bitsafon and you kabbal the Dam in the Darom, so since the Kabbalah's Hadam was in the Darom, it now leaves the Parsha of Mi'ilah, because the Kabbalah's Dam which is the more important of the Avodos, is the Ikar Avoda, was done in the wrong place. So I would think that would leave the Parsha of Mi'ilah. So that's why it has to tell me that's also subject to Mi'ilah. V'tanahai, and had it only told me these two cases, Hava Amina Yimama Zman HaKravahu Avol Shachta B'layla V'zarek B'yom Layla Lav Zman HaKrava V'hai D'shach B'layla Imad D'nafik Midei Mi'ilah. I would think at least in the first two cases you did everything during a time that's ra'ui to do a hakrava, but if you do the shechita belayla where it's not a zman hakrava at all, then maybe that takes it out of the parsha of me'ila. V'itana shechta belayla, and had it only told me the case of shechta belayla, havamina hol v'kibel daman b'yom is b'me'ila, avol shechtan b'yom v'zarak daman belayla hol v'lav zman hakrava u'kaman d'chalkin d'ami v'lo is b'me'ila. I would think that if you do the zrika belayla, that's even worse, because the zrika, kabbalah and the zrika are the ikar parts of the avoda. So I would think that doing the zrika belayla would take it out of the parsha of Mi'ilah. Kamashmala, and that's why it comes to tell me all these cases, which obviously begs the question, why not just tell me the last one? Right? Just tell me the case of Zarek belayla, and that would be enough, and I would know the rest. So this is what we were referring to before, when we said that the Gemara, it says that the entire Mishnah was written in a lozu avzu style. That the Mishnah starts with the lighter chiddush and builds up to the greatest chiddush. But yeah, in Achinami, the later chiddush should have been enough, but sometimes Mishnayos are written that way to start with a lower chiddush and build up to a bigger chiddush. Fine. Chutzas manu v'chutzas mukamo l'may chazu. So when you have a case, all these different cases in the Mishnah, if you look at the Mefarish on the bottom, he explains the Kasha. Chutzas manu v'chutzas mukamo l'may chazu. Klamar kol hani d'tani masnisin bedinu d'molim behen. Ta'ad shachlim b'darim roi l'kachim kalim k'darim l'el. All of these other cases where you did something wrong with the carbon, we understand why it's still called Kachi Hashem, why it's still subject to Mi'ilah. For example, when we spoke about Shachting B'Darom, we said, yeah, Darom is at least a place that's right for Kachim Kalim. V'shachat B'layla, Yizarek B'layla Nami, Dinu D'malim Ben, D'layla Lav M'chus R'zmanhu. And even Shechita B'layla or Zrika B'layla, we understand that you're going to be Ma'ol, because Layla is not M'chus R'zman. But El Shachat Al Manas L'Hatir, Chutz L'zmano, Chutz L'mukomo, L'may Chazia, Hashchita demolin ba ha pigel havi v'lo chazu lo leimun l'gvav v'lo basa l'kohanim v'lav v'kachem ruin klal. But when you're talking about a machsheves pigel, you entirely ruin the carbon completely. So it has no purpose. It has no positive purpose whatsoever. So if that's the case, why would it still be subject to Mi'ila? So that's the Gemara's kasha. Chutzes manu chutzem kamen l'may chazu. Answers the Gemara, holu meratzin l'pigulam. That no, it is roi for something. Meaning we see. Look at the way we treat pigel. There is a halacha by pigul. We've discussed many times in the past that you need to be karav hamatir kimitzvaso. That in order for something, for machsheves pigul, to create a chiv kares, to ruin the carbon entirely, everything else other than that machsheves pigul, in that moment when you had the machsheves pigul, has to have been done properly. If anything else was not done properly, let's say you were zarek belayla, let's say, after doing a shechita with the machsheva of chutzlis mano, well then it will take away the status of pigul. Everything else has to be done kimitzvaso. So the Gemara is saying we should take that as a cue. The fact that everything else has to be done kimitzvaso means that we're still treating it with a great deal of kedusha. Otherwise, there would be no requirement of karav hamatir kimitzvaso. So you see that even though it's roi for nothing, that when something is pigul, it's completely ruined and it's roi for nothing, but still we treat it with a level of kedusha. And that kedusha that we treat it with should be enough to create a sense of me'ila, should be enough to create a problem of me'ila. Fine, period. Top of Beis on Beis. I alu mau sheyardu. For all these cases in the Mishnah, you shef the bedarim, you mekabel dam bedarim, you do stuff belayla, right? What happens if you bring them up on the mizbeach? So you've passled your karban by doing any of these things. It's still subject to milah, but you've passled the karban. So what if you bring it up on the mizbeach? Do you need to take it off of the mizbeach? You're not supposed to bring it on the mizbeach. Do you need to take it down? Machlokes. Rabba Amar im olu yardu. Rabba says that if you bring it up on the mizbeach, it does need to come down. Rav Yosef Amar im olu lo yardu. Rav Yosef says, no, you bring it up on the mizbeach, you could leave it there. Once you bring it there, you could leave it there. Says the Gemara, Alibad Rabbi Yehuda, lo tibaylach, de kule amala pligi, de mali yardu. Within the sheet of Tanaim of Rabbi Yehuda, everyone would agree that even if you bring it up in the mizbeach, it has to come down. Says Tosfos, Tosfos again acting as a mefarish, Alibad Rabbi Yehuda, kule amala pligi, de mali yardu, da hashta gabe nishchat belayla, de lo shino mekomo. If by a case where it's shechted at night, where you were not mishana the makom of the shechita, still we say, Rabbi Yehuda would say it has to come down. So certainly in a place where you were mishana the makom, you shechted in the darom, it would certainly require, you would certainly need to bring it down from the mizbeach. Ki pligi alibid Rabbi Shimon. They only argue about within the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that if it's nishchat balayla, it's lo teirid. So what would be the din when it's nishchat bedarom? Would you say lo teirid when it's nishchat bedarom as well? By nishchat balayla, Rabbi Shimon holds lo teirid. So alibid Rabbi Shimon, what would you say if it's nishchat bedarom? Ki pligi alibid Rabbi Shimon. Back in the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yosef says, well, Rabbi Shimon is not going to be mechalik, just like nishchat Belaila is lo teirid, nishchat bedarom is also lo yerdu, and Rabba Amar Lach, Rabba would say, no, ad kan lo kam Rabbi Shimon ela b'nisan lamata shenasan lamala or b'nisan lamala shenasan lamata uliyolim d'shachtam rikibol damen b'tzafon. Rabbi Shimon would only say that it's lo yerid in a situation of Rabbi Shimon would only say lo yerid in a situation where you do those rikos that are supposed to be lamala, you do lamata or lamata lamala, you mess up on that level. But when it comes to the shechita or the kabbalah in the darom, so that would ruin the entire thing to the extent that you would even need to be morded from the mizbeach. Aval hachlak even to shechlin bedarom kiman dechankinu dami. Shechling your bedarom is as if you choked it. It's as if it just died. It's not considered a carbon that was hukrif at all. So you can't bring it on the mizbeach. So that's the that's why libid Rabbi Shimon. There is a machlokas within the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Now, there is a bit of an issue with the Shitas HaRambam over here. The Rambam writes, in Psulei Mekdash and Paragimel Halacha Zayin, that Kachi Kachim that are shechted bedarom and are brought up on the Mizbeach, lo yardu, that they don't go down, which, fine, he's passing like Rav Yosef, that it's lo yardu, that it doesn't go down. But the Kesef Mishnah points out that the Gemara is very clear, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, everyone agrees that kachi kachim, that you shecht bedarom and mekabel dam b'tzafon, or you shecht b'tzafon and mekabel dam b'darom, imala teved. Meaning the whole machlokas in our Gemara is only alibid Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, everyone would agree imala teved. So according to the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So it's a little bit strange that the Rambam would paskin that if you shecht bedarom imala lo teved. We said that according to Rabbi Yehuda, everyone would agree that if you shecht bedarom imala. So the Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam must have had a different girsa in our Gemara. He must have not been gori, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, everyone agrees that imala teirid. It must be that somehow they're arguing even within the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Lech Mishnah tries to be miyashiv that the Rambam holds that there are sugyas and zvachim that go against our sugya, meaning ein achinami, our Gemara, maybe the Rambam was gori, our Gemara, and our Gemara is saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no machlokas and it would be yeirid according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the Rambam does pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. But he doesn't think that we pass him like our Gemara's comment that everyone would agree according to Rabbi Yehuda that a mala teirid. So maybe that's why the Rambam says different. Okay, says the Gemara, next step of the Gemara, Vaitu in the Gemara, Tanam. Kachi kachim sheshachtam bedarom, molin behen. If you have kachi kachim that you shechtam bedarom, they're subject to me'ilah. So bishtam l'Rav Yosef nicha, el l'Rabba kasha. So I understand very well, according to Rav Yosef, it says, ma'alu lo yerdu. So I see why they're going to be subject to me'ilah. They're still right for something. You're not supposed to bring them on the Mizbeach, but if you do bring them on the Mizbeach, you got to leave them there. So they still have some remnants of Kedusha. But according to Rabba, who says that even if you were malah them on the Mizbeach, they have to come down. So apparently they're yotzei mekdushas on the Gamri. jewelry. They have no kedusha whatsoever. If you accidentally put them on the mizbech, take them off of there. So why should they be subject to meila? This is a gemara. My molin ben midrabanan. When we say molin, we mean mol midrabanan. The kachim that are shechted bedarum are not subject to meila midaraisa. They're only subject to meila midrabanan. Frak the gemara. My ika bein daraisa lerabanan. What's the difference between meila daraisa and meila drabanan? So we mentioned this a little bit in the introduction before we started reading the Mishnah. What's the difference between meila daraisa and meila drabanan? And we said there are two major differences. By meila daraisa, there's a carbon asham. There's an asham mi'ilos. Mi'ila drabanan, you don't bring an asham mi'ilos because it would be chulun nazara on a daraisa level. On a daraisa level, you're not chayiv that asham. An asham can't be brought up in a dava, so it would be chulun bazara. The other difference is that if you do b'shogeg, that not only do you not bring an asham mi'ilos when you do mi'ila drabanan b'shogeg, you also wouldn't have to pay the chomesh. You wouldn't have to pay the extra 25%. Notice what the Gemara's answer is. Daraisa m'sham chomesh drabanan lo. That on daraisa, you have to pay the chomesh when you do it b'shogeg, but by mi'ila drabanan, you don't have to pay the chomesh. So the Rishonim are bothered by this. That's what we identify as the difference. Tosfos writes, the Gemara could have said that mi'ila daraisa, you chayiv to bring karban asham. Mi'ila drabanan, there's no chayiv to bring karban asham. So it says, yeah, the Gemara just wants to give the bigger chiddush, that by mi'ila drabanan, not only is there no chayiv karban, which is more obvious, because it would be a problem of chulun azara, but why not penalize the guy and make him pay the extra chomesh? So it's a bigger chiddush, that he doesn't have to pay the extra chomesh either. But in Rechinami, it could have said that way as well. Other achronim have a more lengthy treatment of this, so maybe there's a reason dafka that the Gemara doesn't mention the carbon. Maybe this relates to the general issue of whether chulun ba'azara is an isser daraisa or an isser derabanan. Okay, but maybe we'll get that some other time. Let's just get a little bit further. So frankly, Gemara, umiyika mi'ila midrabanan, is there really such a thing as mi'ila midrabanan? Says Gemara, yeah, in. Damar ulam Rabbi Yochanan, remember this name, Amar ulam Rabbi Yochanan, kachim shemesu, yatsu mide mi'ila dvar Torah. That if kachim just dies, it has a heart attack and it dies, so it's no longer going to be subject to mi'ila, midaraisa, he says. Salma midaraisa luislahan bidrabanan ispahan. Sounds like, yeah, midaraisa it's no longer subject to mi'ila, but midrabanan it is subject to mi'ila. So achinami midrabanan, so here also, yes, there is such a concept. If when you do shchita bedarom, it could be that it's not subject to mi'ila midaraisa, but it still is subject to mi'ila midrabanan. Says the Gemara, what's the big chiddush of Ulam Rabbi Yochanan? Ulam Rabbi Yochanan tells us, kachim just dies, so it's no longer subject to mi'ila daraisa, but it's subject to mi'ila derabanan. Shouldn't we say that Ulam Rabbi Yochanan is exactly our Mishnah? Because what are we saying in our Mishnah? That if it's shechted bedarom, you didn't do it, it died in a way that was improper for its level of kedusha, so it's not subject to mila midaraisa, which we're understanding means that, I mean, it's still subject to mila, we're understanding means only subject to mila midrabanan. So that's exactly Ulam Rabbi Yochanan. So afgav de tanina itzruch de ula. Now, even though it says it in the Mishnah, we still need ula. Because salka daitach amina hacha lo bedilin minhun, avul kachem shemesu hol bedilin minhun, em afil mila midrabanan. Though, I might have thought in the case of our Mishnah, people are not going to stay away from it, because when it was shechted, at least it was shechted in the Darom, so it's not going to be a nevela, so people aren't going to stay away from it, and therefore it's kedai to make an isra mi'ila midrabanan, but something that anyway, people are going to be badal minei, an animal that just dies, people are going to keep away from it anyway, so I would think there's no sense in even giving it a sense of mi'ila midrabanan. Why should they even be gozer mi'ila midrabanan? Kamash malan, therefore Ulam Rabbi Yochanan comes and teaches us that at least we give it, even though it's not subject to Mi'ila Midaraisa, we still give it Mi'ila Midarabanan. Okay, Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow.